Hello and welcome back everyone to the Hold for Hold Pro Wrestling Channel, Pro Wrestling Podcast, whatever this is. I am your host and your brother, Jaime. As you could tell, there's no one on the screen. If you're here on the YouTube, there's no one on the screen. If you're here on the Twitch, unfortunately, there's no one on the screen today. If you're listening in the podcast realm, you won't notice this because you will just be listening. I'm not in my house today and I couldn't really get the best situation here for streaming with video, so we're just gonna keep it old school audio only. I did make a pretty graphic for this, but other than that, we're gonna kick it old school. But before we get into everything that's going on in wrestling right now, which there is quite a bit of, one big topic of news, which I'm sure a lot of you have already heard, and then we had SmackDown, so gotta talk about that. But anyways, make sure to leave a review on any podcast app that you can leave a review on. Make sure to subscribe to the channel on YouTube. Give this video a thumbs up if you're over here on the YouTube. Follow us on Twitch at twitch.tv/holdforhold. That way you can watch live, hang out here in the chat, ask some questions. It's a good time. But anyways, you guys, today we have some crap news to start us off. WWE had their quarter three earnings call, and they talked about the future of the company. They're unexpectedly making record high money, and you would think, they might be leveling off this whole push to lean down the model of their company, but no. It looks like this is still, I don't even know what to call it. I mean, it's terrible. They've released 18 superstars yesterday. And that's just far too many in one day. Let me recount though. I think it's 18, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. Yeah, I'm right. 18 superstars were released yesterday. And, it's sad to see anyone lose their jobs. And it's just, and especially right now, kind of not the right thing to do, but they did it anyway. And I thought we can at least acknowledge the people who were released. Hopefully they can, find better avenues to build their brand, continue to work, and just, be successful, because WWE thankfully isn't the end all be all anymore. There isn't a huge monopoly. There are alternatives. And hopefully these guys, I have total faith that anyone in this class will land on their feet, because these are immensely talented performers. And sadly, most of them were settled with crap creative and weren't given an opportunity to truly shine, especially on the main roster. So, yeah, I mean, right off the back, we have Karrion Kross and I believe his real life wife, Scarlett. I know that they are married in real life, but yeah, they were released yesterday. Karrion Kross was asked if about keeping the helmet. He said, "No one wants that, brother." So at least he has a sense of humor about it. And honestly, this man, his brand was built up before he got to Raw. At least his brand is pretty huge. I mean, his presentation in NXT was, really good. He wasn't always the right fit for me personally, but I thought he had some great matches with like Finn Balor and Keith Lee. So, I think this guy is very capable, and given the right creative, he's going to be a star. There's no doubt about that. Next up, we have Frankie Monet, who I believe is John Morrison's wife. So I can't imagine how that is. And Frankie Monet, another superstar that showed immense potential, and I was kind of looking forward for her to get on the main roster to see what she could do in that realm. Ember Moon, another kind of a bigger name for me. I was really surprised by Ember Moon. I kind of thought she wasn't on TV because she was going to get called up, and unfortunately, that is the reality of it. But another star that, honestly, she's going to be an asset to any women's division wherever she ends up. She's a fantastic match anywhere she goes. And she actually does have pretty good character work as well. So I think she's gonna land on her feet. Another one, Oney Lorcan. I love Oney Lorcan. Him and Danny Burch were one of my favorite tag teams. And he's gonna be an asset to anyone. B-Fab, this one really came as a surprise as she was just featured on TV last week, and Hit Row were featured tonight without B-Fab, and you know it is lacking B-Fab. I mean, she is another one that has a lot of potential, and it's really unfortunate. And I thought the pairing with Hit Row was just fantastic, but who knows. Jessie Kamea, also, I hadn't seen much of her work, but I know that she is a tremendous athlete, so I think she'll be okay. Like I said, everyone on this list is going to end up back on their feet, hopefully. If it's not in wrestling, it's wherever, because these are all immensely talented people. Zendaya Ramir, Trey Baxter, two recently signed people, and both had kind of a shine on 205 and NXT, so I think they're going to be fine. Hopefully. The Lucha House Party, the remaining two members, Lince Dorado and Gran Metalik, two of my absolute favorite superstars. I really hope I can see them in AEW together or separate, whatever. They're going to be great. Katrina Cortez and Jeet Rama, you know, I haven't seen much of their work, but like I said, everyone's going to be okay, hopefully. Keith Lee, that's another huge name, former NXT and North American champion. I think the only double champion the brand ever had. And then obviously he was recently rebranded to that Bearcat character, which I thought was going to go somewhere really interesting, show a new side to him. And, of course, but like I said, this guy is a future world champion wherever he goes. Eva Marie came as a little bit of a surprise because she had just recently re-signed. She had a pretty prominent role with Doudrop, and I kind of felt like that story didn't get the best finish, but Mia Yim as well, Keith Lee's wife, that's just really unfortunate. She never got her chance to shine on main roster. She had a few good performances in NXT, and like I said, she's going to be an asset wherever she goes. Harry Smith, he never even got to be on TV again. He had a dark match, and that's about it. There's rumors that he was set for a push in NXT UK, which I actually really would have enjoyed him and Walter going at it. So really unfortunate there. And last that I have here is Nia Jax. And from what I can tell, she is the longest tendered employee or performer that they released. She signed way back in 2014. She's a former Raw Women's Champion and a former WWE Women's Tag Champion. That one really came as a surprise. She was just recently prominently featured on Raw. It's just ridiculous, guys. It really is. At the end of the day, this company, there's so much that you can't like about it, and this is one of it. But I hate to, keep saying the same thing over and over again, but I'm just gonna leave it with all these talents have immense potential. They can go anywhere they desire, and I think they'll fit in anywhere. And many of them are future world champions. And there's no doubt in my mind that WWE will regret most of these releases. So, moving on from that. Unfortunately, it's not going to get much better because SmackDown, it felt like I was watching Raw. SmackDown was not very good tonight, you guys. It lacked big story development. It had small story development. And overall, it fell flat for me. I thought the pacing was a little bit weird. And even in between matches, they would have weird promo interviews that just didn't add anything. And it was actually just distracting from what was going on, especially in the Drew Open Challenge. I really felt that was just ridiculous. But we'll get to it when we get to it. I guess let's run down this SmackDown, starting at the head with the head of the table, Roman Reigns. He's back. He says that he took a vacation after smashing Brock Lesnar. He said, "Tiny little no-name town, acknowledge me." And as I always do, I acknowledge my tribal chief. He said he was running around naked on the island with his wife, but he sees that when he leaves for 1 week, everything falls apart, and he asked the wise man, Paul Heyman himself, what happened last week? And Heyman starts talking about that interview that he had with Kayla, but Roman doesn't want to hear about that. He wants to know why the Usos lost their match. He's pissed. He says, "I'm having trouble understanding why they lost. Ask them who got pinned. So he asks Paul Heyman, ask him, and so the twins just start pointing at each other. They're trying to twin magic Roman. That's not going to work. They have different hair. And Jimmy's wearing a hat. So eventually, though, Jimmy does, you know, own up. He was the one whose shoulders were on the mat. Roman asks Jimmy how he's going to fix this problem. Jimmy says that he's going to make Woods acknowledge his tribal chief tonight. This brings out King Woods and Sir Kofi Kingston. Woods says that he thought when you're the king of the table, you get to sit at the head of the table and talk about how you're the head of the table. And it just goes on and on, making fun of Roman's catchphrases, says that the island of relevancy is lonely. But anyways, Woods eventually does get to the point that when he beats Jimmy Uso, he'll make him bend at the knee. Jay starts going off. He's like, that'll never happen. That'll never happen. Roman motions for the microphone. Jay's hesitant to give it to him. And Paul Heyman has to like snatch it out of his hands. Like, what are you doing? Give him the mic. You see him doing that. And so eventually Roman gets the mic and he accepts the challenge for Jimmy. So this matchup, if King Woods wins, Jimmy has to acknowledge King Woods, and vice versa being Xavier Woods will have to acknowledge the tribal chief. So following that, we have our first match of the evening. One of, I believe, three. So that's already a bad start to a 2-hour show. Naomi taking on Shayna Baszler. Sonya Deville has a brief interview, like simultaneously of the match is kind of going on. Sonya denies that she has any personal vendetta against Naomi and says that she's actually lit a fire under Naomi. So we get a hot start to this match. Naomi gets like a Luthes press. Shayna looks to pick the leg, but she can't. She gets slapped in the face instead. Shayna is able to eventually take control with a nasty release German suplex. Naomi comes back with a top rope crossbody for two. Go to commercial, we come back. Naomi reverses out of the coquina clutch into a roll up for the win. And then Sonya comes out, says, well, technically Shayna, she grabbed the rope, so the hold should have been broken, therefore you wouldn't have been able to roll her up. So she restarts the match. Baszler immediately locks in the coquina clutch and puts Naomi to sleep. So continuing that feud, I thought it was fine. The match actually had a little bit more time than normal, so it had a little bit more of a pace to it. And honestly, they could have gave it more time because we all know who doesn't deserve time, and that's the Happy Talk segments. But we're not even there yet. It just sucks so bad that I'm already thinking about it. Following that, we have Roman Reigns backstage, and he is scolding the Usos. He says he takes one vacation and everything sucks. We're almost as bad as Raw. And that makes Jimmy laugh, and Roman doesn't think it's funny. He gets Ryan Jimmy's face, and Jay has to break them up, be like, all right, Us, we'll get this, we'll get this. So they leave. We get an interview from Rich Holland next, which when he popped up on the screen, I honestly said, I'm watching it with my parents, I said, this guy is not going to go anywhere with this gimmick. And I was immediately proven wrong, sorry. He says that he wants to meet his idol Sheamus on SmackDown. He talks about like the relationship that Sheamus has with him and his friends in Ireland, and talks about seeing Sheamus's like big moments at a pub. They watched him win the Royal Rumble, win the WWE Championship from Cena, win it, cash in on Roman, and all these big moments they left an effect on him. So he wants to meet the Sheamus, the Celtic Warrior. And honestly, guys, it got me. I was like, man, this is good. I like this. I hate to say it. So we're going to see, because I did not like Rich Holland in X. He kind of does fit in more with main roster. So we're going to see. Following this, we had a Shotzi Blackheart interview. She said that she's finally had enough. She lost title opportunities, her tag partner, the support of the fans. And because of Sasha, she lost the biggest match of her career. And she plans on running over anyone who gets in her way from here on out. I thought it was good. It was short. It references her past. It doesn't try to make it seem like she's just a brand new person. And oftentimes they do flip on a dime. And this seems motivated, and especially more motivated than it did last week. Because once I really look back on it and see how flip-floppy Sasha, you know, from heel to face, and then having to be the face there, getting healed on it just didn't really work, but I thought this promo really solidified she's a heel, and I think she's going to do well with this. Sasha Banks is in her bird's eye. She's going to go after her first, so we're going to get some good matches out of that. Following that, we have Angel Garza and Humberto Carrillo Los Lotarios taking on Mansoor and Cesaro. And boy, as much as I love the handsome boys, right? I love Angel Garza and Humberto Carrillo. This is not necessarily what I wanted to see, because I didn't want to see Mansoor and Cesaro team up for A, no reason, and B, for Cesaro to take a pin here. So the handsome boys, we're going to just run through this match and we'll talk about it at the end, I guess. The handsome boys start off in control. They're isolating Mansoor. They have a promo that plays while the match is going on in pitcher in pitcher, where they're asked why they attacked Shinsuke and Booze last week. And they essentially said it's because they're ugly. They're fail. Which, when they said it's done fail, that made me laugh. But, you know, it's not really much of a character. Mansoor is able to come back, though, after this weird picture-in-picture with a smooth DDT, gets the hot tag to Cesaro. Cesaro starts hitting uppercuts on everyone. He even grabs Angel Garza's pants and hits him with an uppercut. With a little bit of a miss from, like, a suplex attempt, but then Cesaro gets bumped into Mansoor. This sends Mansoor to the outside. Cesaro gets locked in that muta-lock dropkick combo that the handsome boys do, and Cesaro eats a pin, you guys. I did not expect that at all. And yeah, no backstory as to why Mansoor and Cesaro were teaming. They just, you know, were teaming. That's terrible. I mean, you need to explain why these people are interacting with each other. Unless I missed it, but I don't think I did. So yeah. Speaking of terrible, this next part was just so weird. Jeff Hardy is talking to Aaliyah backstage, who Aaliyah looks like she's wearing a Selena costume. They're just talking. Interviewer comes up. She doesn't even get to ask a question, I don't think, because Aaliyah leaves. She walks a few steps up. Jeff Hardy notices something, so he walks a few steps up. Aaliyah's talking to Sami Zayn. Apparently, Sami Zayn is saying that she needs to change her outfit and suggests that she gets a pantsuit. Then he leaves. Jeff Hardy and Aaliyah have a really, really corny and awkward exchange of like, welcome to SmackDown. That's just how it is around here. Terrible. Absolutely terrible. Accomplished nothing. Made no one look good. Worthless segment. Following that, though, we have Drew McIntyre in an open challenge. This is good. I like an open challenge. And I like Drew doing an open challenge. Although I do want one of these days for Roman to accept the open challenge, you know? Just, you know, prove he's a tribal chief real quick. Maybe have let's get in some fantasy booking. Maybe have Drew McIntyre have the open challenge be the main event segment and Roman take offense to Drew having the main event on his show. So he goes down there to prove it. It'd be fun, right? Anyways, that wasn't tonight. That's in my head. Tonight, Ricochet answers the open challenge. He has a promo on his way down. He's like, Drew, you're playing with fire. One of these days, somebody's going to walk into the ring. Then he walks into the ring and smack you right across the mouth. And then he smacks Drew right across the mouth. Very John Cena, ruthless aggression-esque slap there. It was good. Bell rings. Drew immediately starts just tearing into Ricochet with chops. He gives him big belly-to-belly across the ring, which Ricochet sells it the only way he knows how, and is to launch himself. Ricochet is able to eventually send Drew to the outside, looks for a run off the apron, but is caught into a powerbomb like position. Drew like flips him around and just hits him with a back suplex onto the apron. It looked rough. Then we get another one of those weird side-by-side interviews, and Ali is like watching this match, which Ali answered the open challenge, I believe, last week. So I guess that's relevant. He's watching it. Interviewer comes up and they're like, hey, you watching this? And he's like, yeah, bro, I'm watching this. So yeah, we're just so weird. I didn't like it. I think there's going to be a fad that we're going to see for 2 weeks and never see again. These little side-by-sides. Meanwhile, Drew goes for a flying nothing. He's met with a drop kick in midair. Drew is able to counter a shooting star press into a deadlift brainbuster somehow. That gets him two. Ricochet is able to come back a little bit, so he's building momentum. He looks for a middle rope moonsault, but eats a claymore out of midair, very reminiscent of his NXT spot with Adam Cole, and man, was it good. Drew gives Ricochet a little bit of credit after the match. He's like, man, that was gutsy. That was gutsy. Good job, though. And then he's walking up the ramp. He's like, I like that match. That was fun. So, yeah, Drew Open Challenge, accomplishing something. And this is actually one of the only bits of the night that carried through for me and I thought found an interesting spot, as we're going to talk about here in a minute. Following this match, King Woods and Kofi Kingston have an interview backstage, and Woods essentially says the outcome of this match with Jimothy is not in doubt because Jimothy will bend his knee for King Woods. Following that, Mustafa Ali tries to recruit Ricochet. He's like, man, we should just team together. You know, like, why not? We both lost to Drew. Might as well. Ricochet says he doesn't want to do that. He calls Ali a whiner, not a winner. And he cites Ali's, you know, poor treatment of Mansoor as like a main reason why he doesn't want to team with him. That's legitimate. Ali, once Ricochet leaves, he's like, you're going to regret that. So I really hope they give this feud some time and it doesn't have a weird ending like the Mansoor Ali feud did, because this could actually be really good. One, it's going to deliver in the matches, first of all. And it could establish some real character work for Ricochet, who I thought did a good job with his in-ring or with his promo on his way down the ring and, you know, getting in Drew's face. I think he showed some more intensity that we haven't seen from him in WWE. And yeah, and with Mustafa Ali especially, is just such a good talker, and I feel like he could carry Ricochet to a good backstage segment kind of like this. So yeah, I am looking forward to seeing more of this. What I am not looking forward to seeing more of is Happy Talk, as that was up next. I'm gonna be honest with you guys. I skipped over it. I skipped over most of it because it's the same thing. Mad Cat Moss told a bad joke about the Viking Raiders being stinky, and then Viking Raiders came out. Then this leads to a tag match. Waste of time that could have went to any of the other matches tonight. Viking Raiders take on Happy Corbin and Madcap Moss after a break. So we start off this match with the Viking Raiders in control until Corbin distracts Eric somehow. Madcap is able to hit Spine Buster, which was pretty nice Spine Buster. But Viking Raiders do regain control again. Hansen looks for a splash to finish off Madcap. But Corbin saves his partner, pulls him out to the outside. So Hansen's like, all right, bro, I'm going to go to the outside. So he starts to position himself like he's going to jump to the outside. And Corbin and Madcap just come up the ramp. They're like, we're not going to deal with this. And they take a count out. A count out? How are you going to have Happy Talk and a count out in the same, like, you know, segment? Who wrote that and said, this is a good idea? Terrible. God awful. Following that, you know, and I don't like to harp on things too much, but this Madcap Corbin stuff is just not working, you guys. They had something really good with bad, down on his luck Corbin. And I really thought, man, I look like an idiot too, because I really thought Madcap Moss, before he was called that, I thought Riddick Moss could be a really good addition to Corbin. He looks like they would hang out. And now they've made it to the worst possible scenario that they could. It's corny. It's embarrassing. I feel ashamed watching it. It's something that if someone came into the room and I was watching, I don't think they would be friends with me anymore. It is bad. But like I said, it's not the performers either, because both of these guys are fantastic when given the right stuff, especially Corbin. Corbin has such chops now after being, you know, thrown in the deep end on main roster, being the counselor of Raw, whatever that position was, the king. I mean, he's been saddled with crap gimmicks since his day one. And the one time he had a really good character that he was very intent on building, as you can see from his Twitter activity and everything, like, he very much was able to commit to that character and find a good groove, and the crowd was enjoying it. He, for the first time in his main roster run, he was entertaining, and now he's just right back down to the thick of the bathroom break territory. But yeah, unfortunately, that's the situation. Following that, we have a hit row without B-Fab, which is just terrible. They're backstage. Sami Zayn comes up to them, says, you know what, you need my advice too. You guys need to have more finesse. So Top Dollar asks Sammy to show them. Sammy goes to the ramp, makes a really exaggerated entrance, and says, that's how you do it. And then this brings out Hit Row. They tell him he sucks. Sammy tries to walk away, but Hit Row won't let him, which I'm not going to lie. I was kind of hoping that we would get a swerve Sami Zayn match right there, because that's who he's got in his face first. I was like, oh, that could be interesting. But no, they eventually let Sammy walk through it. Sammy's like, I'm not going to forget this. So I don't know what that necessarily means, but Sami Zayn is a great performer. And this segment wasn't good. Don't get me wrong. It was pretty not good. But if anyone could save it, I think it's going to be him. And I think that he's going to be a great first opponent for Swerve, Top Dollar, the Adonis. I think, yeah, anyone in that group can get a good rub from Sami Zayn. So that you have to keep in mind, I guess. We get another Roman Reigns, Jimmy Uso promo after, and Roman essentially asks him, how many of your problems do I need to fix around here? And then we get our match, Jimmy Uso taking on King Woods. King Woods has a very good parody of the Uso song, that like the bend down scent, he changes it into the bend down. And so it's like, it's good. I liked it. I think it's like a one and done, but it was very creative. They don't normally do stuff like that. Woods, early on, he looks to get a roll up right at the start of the match. Jimmy isn't having it. He responds with some strikes. Jimmy does eventually get caught for Xavier Woods' tilt-a-whirl Russian leg sweep. He rolls out the ring. He needs to catch up, catch his breath. Jay gets in his face on the outside, says, what are you doing, Uso? What are you doing? And so this changes, you know, Jimmy's entire mood. He changes the pace. He gains control. Go to commercial. We come back. He loses control as Woods nails a dropkick that sends Jimmy into the announce table. Woods hits a top rope leg drop that would make Hogan flinch because it looked rough for two. Woods goes back up to the top rope. He gets caught for an avalanche Samoan drop. That gives Jimmy two. Jimmy then looks for the splash, but eats the royal feet. Woods gets, he like hits his face on Woods' feet. Woods looking for something, and he gets his eyes raked. Jimmy rolls him up, and Jay's trying to do that, you know, foot on the butt thing to help him, but he gets caught, so the referee like tells him to break it. Then Woods rolls up Jimmy for the win. Pretty good match. Fun character work. I especially pop for that parody song because they don't ever do stuff like that. So Jimmy now has to bend his knee and acknowledge King Woods before he can fully bend the knee, although his knee was semi-bent. So they might be able to harp on that. But before Jimothy can fully bend the knee, Roman smashes the new royal couple. He gives a Superman punch to Woods. The Usos go to town on Kofi's knee. They do the tequila sunrise splash combo thing. And at the end, Roman seems to have challenged King Woods to a match. He says, I'm going to show you who's a real king next week. So I think we're going to get that matchup, which should be interesting. But like I said, I mean, we had 1, 2, 3, 4 matches. Okay, we have 4 matches on this show. And it just, the pacing wasn't well done. We had some weird side-by-side interviews that I don't think they're ever going to do again. And then that weird Jeff Hardy stuff. And Sami Zayn honestly wasn't able to save the segments he was in tonight. So it just wasn't a good SmackDown. And just the overall bummer of how WWE is treating their talent, even though they're reporting record high sales, revenue, profits, whatever you want to call it. They're freaking loaded with cash. And and apparently not even spelling wrestlers' names right when they email them to tell them that they're released. They put a K in Oney Lorcan. So it's just poor management, I don't get it, you know. But like I said, I think everyone on this list, everyone that they've released, period, I mean, they're talented individuals for the most part, unless they're, you know, bad people, which none of these people are, obviously. So yeah. Hate to be talking about that stuff, but gotta do it. It's the job. All right, you guys, thank you for putting up with this audio only broadcast. I will be back at my Casa de la Jaime on Monday, And so my stream Tuesday for Raw should be back. I am considering cutting Raw out of the weekly schedule as no one really watches the Raw reviews, and I don't blame them. Raw is too long and not often good. But we will see. And I will keep you guys updated, of course. But if you can do me a big favor, and I mean a big favor, this is huge. This is like top favor. You can write this down if you want, and I can maybe return on it. Please just like the video, subscribe to the channel, leave a comment, you know, whatever. Just support the channel anywhere you can. I'm over there on Twitter and Instagram at Hold for Hold. I've been posting some memes. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm trying to make y'all laugh, trying to make the funnies. So yeah, check that out. And yeah, I'll see you guys in the next one. Thank you guys once again. Love it. Bye.